Introduction. Making versus taking. The barbarous gold barons, they did not find the gold, they did not mine the gold, they did not mill the gold, but by some weird alchemy, all the gold belonged to them. Big Bill Haywood, founder of the United States' first industrial union, 1929. Bill Haywood expressed his puzzlement eloquently. He represented men and women in the U.S. mining industry at the start of the 20th century and during the Great Depression of the 1930s. He was steeped in the industry, but even Haywood could not answer the question, why did the owners of capital, who did little but buy and sell gold on the market, make so much money, while workers who expended their mental and physical energy to find it, mine it, and mill it, make so little? Why were the takers making so much money at the expense of the makers? Similar questions are still being asked today. In 2016, the British high street retailer BHS collapsed. It had been founded in 1928 and in 2004 was bought by Sir Philip Green, a well-known retail entrepreneur, for £200 million. In 2015, Sir Philip sold the business for £1 to a group of investors headed by the British businessman Dominic Chappelle. While it was under his control, Sir Philip and his family extracted from BHS an estimated £580 million in dividends, rental payments, and interest on loans they had made to the company. The collapse of BHS threw 11,000 people out of work and left its pension fund with a £571 million deficit, even though the fund had been in surplus when Sir Philip acquired it. A report on the BHS disaster by the House of Commons Work and Pensions Select Committee accused Sir Philip, Mr. Chappelle, and their hangers-on of systematic plunder. For BHS workers and pensioners who depended on the company for a decent living for their families, this was value extraction, the appropriation of gains vastly out of proportion to economic contribution on an epic scale. For Sir Philip and others who controlled the business, it was value creation. While Sir Philip's activities could be viewed as an aberration, the excesses of an individual, his way of thinking is hardly unusual. Today, many giant corporations are also guilty of confusing value creation with value extraction. In August 2016, for instance, the European Commission, the European Union's EU executive arm, sparked an international row between the EU and the US when it ordered Apple to pay 13 billion euros in back taxes to Ireland. Apple is the world's biggest company by stock market value. In 2015, it held a mountain of cash and securities outside the U.S. worth $187 billion, about the same size as the Czech Republic's economy that year, to avoid paying the U.S. taxes that would be due on the profits if they were repatriated. Under a deal with Ireland dating back to 1991, two Irish subsidiaries of Apple received very generous tax treatment. The subsidiaries were Apple Sales International, ASI, which recorded all the profits earned on sales of iPhones and other Apple devices in Europe, the Middle East, Africa, and India, and Apple Operations Europe, which made computers. Apple transferred development rights of its products to ASI for a nominal amount, thereby depriving the U.S. taxpayer of revenues from technologies embodied in Apple products whose early development the taxpayer had funded. The European Commission alleged that the maximum rate payable on those profits booked through Ireland, which were liable for tax, was 1%. But that in 2014, Apple paid tax at 0.005%. The usual rate of corporation tax in Ireland is 12.5%. What is more, these Irish subsidiaries of Apple are in fact not resident for tax purposes anywhere. This is because they have exploited discrepancies between the Irish and U.S. definitions of residence. Almost all the profits earned by the subsidiaries were allocated to their head offices, which exist